FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey loyalty program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stones.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop? Transformers!
Defenders of truth! Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for your listening pleasure. Episode number 279. Recorded March 3rd, 2018. I am your host, Ron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Rick Alvarez.
Here's the thing about chicken. Chicken's only meant to be fried or rotisserie. None of this grilled crap. Chicken's not supposed to be grilled. It's fried or rotisserie.
What about Cajun? I like Cajun.
Cajun spice on top of a fried chicken, yes.
What about Parmesan chicken? Chicken Parmesan.
Well, chicken parm's technically fried.
Technically.
I just like it raw. This one's really good.
You like
extra salmonella?
Well, there's no salmonella in Japan, so it is quite common to eat chicken sashimi over there.
Really?
Learn something every day.
Yeah. I ate raw horse last time I was in Japan. It's very good.
Who? And that new voice that you are hearing there is our newest cast member, Robert Simmons. Welcome to TFYLP.
Yo.
And if you're watching the video of this, you probably recognize him. It's the chops that probably gave him away. You've probably seen him at like every BotCon like ever, it seems like.
What is your do you have a handle online, like,
yeah,
Mutton Chop 5000 or?
Nah. Mostly on all the various boards, XZOX for ever, just because, you know, it's a handle I picked in 99 and now I'm stuck with it because it's everywhere.
And it's like...
Sorry, what were you saying?
XZOX. Yeah.
There are lots of X's in it.
Yeah.
Because they all live in Texas. Yeah. Crickets chirp. And also, you do some YouTube videos. You started up new channel.
Yeah, I just started it. There I used what I call my RPG name, Brumin. Again, used it since 99. So started Brumin Videos as a YouTube channel.
And what type of videos are these?
Porno.
Transformer. Yeah, Transformer related. I know it's a shock. Although it'll be whatever toys I feel like.
You feel the toys on the video? Is that...
It's a lot of caressing, a lot of smooth caresses for, you know, about an hour.
I don't get that. I don't just...
I've confused Rick.
Yeah, you played with your gun the last video.
Yeah, it's the second one. I actually just uploaded the second one in the Gun Robos that I was working on. And editing video is a really slow process. It takes about an hour per minute of video for me.
Wow, you must have an old computer then.
No, that's just piecing it together.
Oh.
It's very tedious.
He shoots it like animation, one frame per minute.
It's a bunch of pictures.
So
I manually stitch them together at 30 frames a second.
Yeah.
You know.
No, 29.97 frames.
29.97, that's true.
He's still working on like Windows 97, dude.
Oh, so he's Headmaster Dawn then. We've always got to get a rib for Dawn in here. We're actually recording this, as many of you know, that my computer having issues with it, so not able to stream live at this time. Once I get a new system and get it set up, hopefully everything will return back to our normal broadcasting schedule. But as such, we are pre-recording these and putting them up at our normal time at 8 p.m. Eastern on our YouTube channel. And a programming note, we will have an episode next Saturday. However, it will be recorded today because I myself will be at Lexington Comic Con in Lexington, Kentucky, helping man the Captured Prey booth. So if you are in the Lexington, Kentucky area next weekend, or as you're watching that episode that weekend, stop by and check us out. I believe we're on the second floor up there. If we're in the same place, it's like literally as you go in the door, or right before you go in the door on the second floor. Lexington Comic Con is always a huge, huge show. Thousands of people in attendance. Great guests this year. A lot of wrestling guests, which appealed to me. Chuck Norris is going to be there. If you love Power Rangers, there's going to be always tons of Power Rangers there. William Riker from Star Trek The Next Generation, Jonathan Frakes. So lots of great guests and lots of great toys to buy there, too. There's always good deals from toys. I know 2 years ago I bought a sealed diver with Niagara Base there, and it was like near mint condition in the box, you know. So yes, you can find great stuff at just a general Comic-Con.
Right. We were going to do, so next week's show is also going to be pre-recorded.
Yes.
We were going to do a best of, but then we realized that nothing about the show is good. So we just, we had to do a whole new show.
Yeah.
The world's shortest clip show.
We have on tap, for that episode, if you're watching this week, next week you should be treated to, another guest of our guest appearance of Aaron Archer. He will be on here to talk about Trans Tech, the Transformers line that never was. We saw lots of video or lots of pictures and stuff, or a few pictures back in the day, and it was being talked about quite a bit, and then it just disappeared. And along came RID, and it just never happened. So we're going to be talking about, yes, we're going to talk a little bit about that and the end of Beast Machines and the transition to RID and why TransTech never came to be, and just anything you wanted to know about TransTech but were afraid to ask. Aaron Archer will be here to help talk us through it. Looking forward to that. If you are new to our show, thank you for joining us today, and hope you enjoy this show. Check out our website at tfylp.com. Also, we are on Twitter at tfylp, and that's the easiest way to get a hold of me very quickly, as it goes right straight to my phone, and I can generally reply within an hour or so of a tweet. You can just tweet us at TFYLP. Also, if you're feeling very sociable, check us out on our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/TFYLP. We pose our Transformers in very suggestive poses and post them online there. You can go and check out lots of great toy porn there. Without further ado, let's get into some things that weren't so hot throughout the Transformers storied history. I've entitled this episode Transformers, because they were lines that either came and gone without much ballyhoo, or they tried but just really didn't succeed in what they were set out to do. Just for example, I know that's one of the things we're going to talk about, but just for example, one of the lines that come to mind whenever you think of lines that had high hopes for but just didn't really work, Power Core Combiners. Whenever they were announced, I was really excited for them. They sounded cool, you know, but whenever they came out, they fell flat. You know, it was a huge disappointment. Like, the Corbot was usually somewhat good, And then you had these little drones that were just killed by a spring-loaded gimmick. So, and the line just tanked. And then you have the spastic debacle that happened overseas. I know that got renamed. What was it? What did it get renamed here? Burnout or something like that?
I don't remember.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Had a sticker put over his name tag here, even though that word doesn't have the same connotation in North America as it does in Great Britain. So, which is where the problem in question came out. But that's just one of the things we're going to talk about. Rick's got a list of stuff. He's going to throw them out to us and see where, see what sticks and what we think about these lines. And we'll just kind of go into them a little bit more in depth.
All right. So I put a list together, and I didn't tell anyone what's on my list. And it's not a list that says, all right, well, the features weren't good. It's a list about there was a couple figures released, and then it just kind of went away. And there wasn't a whole lot of follow-up. So the most famous one of all, to give an example, is Machine Wars, which was a KB exclusive, came out in 1997 during the amazing build-up of Beast Wars. And it was really trying to bring the vehicles back into the fold of Transformers. And they put out, 8 basics, 2 Voyagers, and 2 Leaders. And that was it. And that was the whole line. And a lot of the line were reissued European figures and reused art. So
as cheap as they can get it.
Yeah, just kind of pushed it out as quickly as they could, and that was the end of it. So that's the most famous one. Robert, your thoughts on Machine Wars.
You know, I'm going to play devil's advocate to a lot of this stuff, given that, I mean, you were with Hasbro for a while, so maybe you have some deeper insight into some of the later lines to give us kind of more. Did this really fail, or was it still successful but not as successful as Hasbro would have liked? Because, of course, they want everything to be a runaway hit. But with Machine Wars, given that all the tooling was there, all the molding was there, it probably didn't have to hit that high of a bar to be successful and to be what they do. And that would be why it ends if they ran out of molds to, you know, recolor or repaint or reship as a KB-only line.
Well, a lot of the molds were still there from the UK. So, and from Generation 2. So they definitely had molds available to them. But it was a one and done. There was never, ever, from what I could find from working at Hasbro, any other Machine Wars figures planned. They hit, and that was the end of it.
I mean, see, that's what I'm wondering is, was it just a way for them to get those European exclusive molds out to U.S. customers, and they achieved that, and it's like, okay, we're good.
No, that was not the intention. No, okay. Nobody there said, hey, you know what? Our domestic fan base really wants these toys. Let's create this whole subsection. Let's go through all the copyright pricing. Let's go through all the name locking that we need to do just so that they can get these 4 molds that never came out in the U.S.
Well, I mean, if everything was reused, all the molds were reused. You said all the art was reused or a lot of it.
Except for the basics, yeah.
Okay.
So
what was their goal with the line then?
The goal was to reintroduce vehicles into the Transformers mythos because everything was Beast. You had Beast Wars was a huge – I think Beast Wars was at the end of Season 2 already during this. So everything was Beast. Nobody was used to vehicles whatsoever. So this was a purely vehicle-based toy line. But
hence why the font had a Beast Wars theme to it. The Machine Wars font, Machine Wars was kind of like a take on the Beast Wars logo.
Yeah, the packaging was very similar design wise to the Beast Wars.
I'm looking at my late Euro shelf right now because since those were the ones, you know, that were recolored into Machine Wars, kind of thinking about them.
So Thunderclash came out,
in
that line. Rotostorm came out in that line, and I think part of the problem was it went to KB. It went to KB. It went to, exactly. It went to KB Toy Store, and that was it. I think if it had a broader appeal, like if it went to Toys R Us, I wouldn't even say Walmart or Target, but if it went to Toys R Us at the time, I think it would have lasted longer than the
much smaller KB
than the 12 figures that existed.
Do you think that it was intended to be just a short run series, or was it intended to be like the beginning of something that could have parlayed into something bigger?
I think the intention was that we're going to make this, we're going to double the amount of Transformers we're selling. But unfortunately, the shift had happened in such an extreme direction that the world wasn't ready for machines. And I think also the lack of availability being exclusive to KB also made it difficult.
And it also had no fiction supporting it. You know, it didn't have anything selling. It didn't have the cartoon on the shows. It's going to be hard to compete with toys, you know, with Beast Wars toys that have a full show airing every afternoon on Fox Kids versus, you know, here's some toys without the fiction to say, oh, hey, mommy, I want to go buy that.
Bio on the back is all you've got.
Yeah.
But it still carries a Transformers name.
Yeah.
And that's what they're trying to capitalize on. So, all right, let's move away from Machine Wars. I'm going to throw something at you, Daron. I don't know if this was even on your radar. Stealth Force.
No.
So Stealth Force was an idea.
They were the mask-like vehicles, right?
It was a mask-like vehicle, right. These items didn't transform into robots. They were cars, and you could press a button, and doors would swing open, and guns would come out, or headlights would pop down, and
I love it when the headlights pop down.
It was like a mid-transformation that became like a car, but then it became an armor mode car. And that served as the inspiration for the Wreckers. And stealth mode is kind of seen in Dark of the Moon, somewhat, that mid-transformation battle sequence. That was something that we really pushed for in the movie because we thought that's what's going to save RPMs. And you can say RPMs is also part of the the robot-powered machines, which is Hasbro's answer to Hot Wheels. So we can wrap Stealth Force and RPMs together.
I had like exactly one RPM.
I had zero. So I didn't even realize Stealth Force existed. That's why I just looked it up on the wiki.
I remember it, and I remember seeing a few in the store, but they just like. I liked Mask because it wasn't they weren't intended to be robots, but Stealth Force just kind of defeated the whole purpose to me, and really it didn't feel like a Transformer, so I had no interest in it.
Now with Stealth Force, I think all right, I see what they're trying to do here. They're really trying to appeal to that car, Hot Wheel, Matchbox type person, but then they started throwing in like characters like Big Hoss. Or Topspin, or like Knockout, or Dirt Rocket, Highwire. Do you know who those characters are as it pertains to Dark of the Moon? Or
No.
It was a very odd character selection. And I think that has to do with the designer wanting to do something, the marketer being okay with it, and not really knowing the brand, where they should have said, all right, we obviously need Optimus and Bumblebee and Starscream, Barricade. Who else do we need? Right, we need a movie Ratchet, we need an Ironhide, rather than these kind of obscure or made up characters.
You know, and it's sad on a side note, and I think we're probably going to mention this a lot with a lot of these lines, is the failure in marketing. The connection between marketing and design, I guess, as it were, is like somebody there in marketing or a group of people in marketing just doesn't know the brand well enough to know, well, this is an established character. This is not. This is something that should sell well. This probably won't. You know, it's just like, okay, let's just slap the Transformers name on it and let it go. And I kind of wonder how many different lines throughout Transformers history has fallen to that pitfall. You know, power core combiners really didn't have, outside of the bomb shock with the military vehicles, which had a reminiscence of Bruticus, it was the only power core combiner that really had any kind of connection outside of the little subline itself. All the lines just kind of, I mean, all the characters in that line were just standalone, here you go.
Go ahead.
I actually liked Power Core Combiners for what it was. I do feel like a lot of the middle robots were some good toys. That's still one of my favorite modern Huffer interpretations is from Power Core Combiners. I think it helped. I don't want to say bring Combiners back, because even when Transformers hasn't had Combiners, we've still had Combiners. You know, Energon had tons of Combiners. You know, they had the Tubot Combiners. We had the Minicon Combiners. You know, even Armada, you know, you made the sword. You know, we had Combiners. So, you know, so Combiners is, a lot of people think, oh, Combiner Wars finally brought Combiners back, and that definitely was bigger in a bigger way than we'd seen it in a long time. But we've had this long history of combining. You know, it's Power Core Combiners definitely came and went. I think, you know, as you said, the little spring-loaded little things were kind of a neat idea, a fun idea, but I just don't think they just didn't have that sticking point to them to really last beyond an idea. We tried it, and then we moved on. Yeah. So.
I think part of the branding error with that was, where did they fit into? Because they weren't branded as movie toys.
Even though they had a similar package.
They always thought of them as movie toys.
Yeah, they had a similar package and a very similar design aesthetic. But they were never branded as anything other than Power Core Transformers. So as a consumer, you wouldn't know, do these belong on your movie shelf? Do these belong with your generation's toys? And the teams they had, the Protecticons, the Destron, Stunicons, where did these fit? So Power Core Combiners kind of have their own shelf in my world. They're kind of their own thing and don't necessarily, for me, fit with the movie and don't fit with generations. They're in that other category.
I found it interesting that Power Core Combiners was hit a nerve with somebody, like in a good way, enough that we even got the third party, was it Chaos Paladin, that worked with Power Core Combiners, and they tried to do a little bit with that. Usually, you know,
well, there was also
the big targets.
There was also the Iron Army. Army came out that. Yeah. Go with Bomb Shock and essentially made like a World War II style Bruticus, and I thought that was pretty awesome.
But these are upgrade kits, and what are upgrade kits other than to amplify what's there, right? Because what's there just isn't up to par in some people's opinions.
Well, what are some other lines that kind of fell under that?
Under which?
Well, you're saying that had needed upgrades, or
well, not necessarily upgrades, but just fell under the banner of. Fell just a bit short.
All right, I'm going to throw this one at you, and I'm going to preface this by saying, yes, there was a substantial amount of product for this line released, but domestically in the United States, where Hasbro is based out of, it's a U.S.-based company where, in my opinion, everything should be released in their main market, a lot of the toys ended up going to Canada. Constructobots.
Yeah. I was waiting for that one to come up. Constructbox reminds me of earlier when we talked about the RPMs as Hasbro's answer to Hot Wheels. Is it feels like the success of the movie injected so much money into Hasbro, they just said, "What is every other popular toy? We're going to do our version of it," and
slap Transformers on it.
Yeah, and so you know we got Creo, which I like Creo, but you know I think that's another one that I think didn't live up to its potential. Constructbox, which was just I was just rolling my eyes the entire time it came out. RPMs, like you said, and there's more, you know, of just, oh, we have to do that. I'm surprised there's not Transformer Play-Doh, Transform-do, or something. Well, you know?
There is, but it's...
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. there is Transformers Play-Doh, yeah. It's all movie-branded. It's all movie-branded. So it fits within the movie.
You know, and we got Robot Heroes, because that was popular at the time as well. You know, it's just this... oh, somebody else did that. Let's make a Transformer version. We got all this money to spend.
All right. So being on the inside, this was something that came about while I was there. What's in Connecticut, right? Hasbro's in Rhode Island, Lego's in Connecticut, right? And they're always swapping people back and forth, right? You get let go from Lego, you go to Hasbro, and vice versa, right? So Creo is that answer to Lego, right? Constructabots is that answer to the buildable action figure, which I think everybody saw coming for Star Wars from Lego, right? I think it came a little before Star Wars, but there was also that Lego line. Wasn't Ninjago. What was that Lego action figure line?
I mean, this is a Bionicle, if that's what you're talking
Bionicle.
About.
Bionicle.
I can't remember if Bionicle. I can remember if Lego made it or not.
Right. So Bionicle is come and gone, right? It's been replaced with the Star Wars action figures, the buildable action figures. And this is the answer to Bionicle. Mm-hmm. This is Hasbro's answer to Bionicle. And a lot of people, I would think, would say, well, they had so much product. How can you say it's a failed line? Yeah, but all that product came out at the same time within a short window, and there was never any follow-up to it.
Here's a huge wave one or whatever.
Right. Here's wave one and three all at the same time.
Yeah.
And then we're going to ship the rest to Canada because it's not – no one in the U.S. is going to buy it.
I wonder how they determined that, you know, that the American wallet was not interested in it.
No.
You know, that was beyond me, and I could never – I was never involved in that decision. Well, these are going to this particular market.
Usually that stuff is planned out ahead.
I don't know. I remember last time I was in Canada – a young man named Chris Ho was nice enough to give me the tour and take me to all the toy stores. And I found a lot of the Constructbots on clearance in Canada, a lot of the ones that I wasn't able to get here. So I kept buying them all. And I think the problem as a fan, as an older, you know, as an adult fan, the name Construct-Bots, Constructicons, man.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. It's right there. And they never made the Constructicons.
The Constructbot Constructicons.
Right.
That would have been too confusing.
More like Constructicants.
Wah, wah. But, you know, speaking about Creo, that's another one that comes to mind as well. I mean, yeah, the Creons, the little figurines, they somewhat did okay, I guess.
They lasted longer,
but the Creo action figures themselves, they came and went. I had the Jazz, and while it was okay, I didn't like the fact that I had to. Okay, I had my robot. Now I want to put it in car mode. Let's just disassemble the whole damn thing and then reassemble it in another. You know, if I want to play with Legos, I'm sorry, I'll play with Legos. And these things, I hate to say it, were just a continuation of Built to Rule for me. And
well,
Built to Rule
were better than Built to Rule, but
yeah, they were better executed, but they still had that same stigma to me.
Right. So a great designer, his name was Richard Woodhouse. He designed all the Creo stuff. And looking at, because this also happened while I was working there. So looking at where it started off with his concepts versus what actually got released were night and day. Mm-hmm. And the best example for Transformers I can think of was Ironhide. You had this beautiful, gorgeous SUV – or not the SUV, the pickup truck from the movie. And you'd reconstitute it into this awesome robot. And that wasn't even an option. That never even came out. And for Joe – you had this beautiful his tank, really, really nice his tank, like a small liter size toy with actually moving treads. And then the his tank's a little tiny thing that finally came out with another set. So where they started versus where they ended up were two completely different things. And I don't know if it had to do with cost or because they were trying to introduce this brand new concept to the marketplace.
Or another marketing mishap.
Potentially, but people who buy Legos, who are Lego fanatics, don't cross the streams. You're a Lego person till the end. There's a few people out there who are Mega Bloks, and there's a few people like me who play in everybody's sandbox. You know, Mega Bloks, Lego, Creo. I like it all. You know, what's the Toys R Us one? Sherlock? Sherlock, which is awful and doesn't stay together, but they made a really cool Terminator set. All right.
Like I bought all of Creo when it came out, and I've since then I scaled back a lot of it, and I can't even sell it on eBay, to be honest. And I kind of hate that we're talking about Creo without Jim here. Yeah. Where the hell is he anyway?
I don't know. But,
well,
he bailed on us.
The biggest problem I had with Creo is, again, like kind of like you were saying, Rick, you're not gonna beat Lego at their own game. And I feel like with all these was Hasbro trying to compete with somebody at their own game. But you know what Transformers is so good at is transforming. That's why they're there. That's why it's the name. And you couldn't transform them until like the tail end after the line was effectively dead in everyone's minds. And like I never even saw those on shelves. You know, the ones right. that you could rotate back and forth without tearing them apart.
Yeah.
And so I feel like if they had started with that, you know, because by then they looked good at least, unlike Built to Rule, which looked like Built to Rule.
Built to suck is what a lot of people call them.
Yeah. You know, it's like I think if they had started with that, it might have lasted a little longer because they brought something unique to the building block play pattern.
Yeah. Now, Creo was a learning experience. You know, as you said, they started with, you know, you have to take it all apart from robot to vehicle. And towards the end, it became more of a transforming thing. It was a learning experience, but I wouldn't necessarily call Creo itself a failure. I would say, you know, Creo's still around. If you go to the Dollar General stores,
yeah.
There's still product out there. But what's interesting about Creo is that a lot of the G.I. Joe sets got re-released. But all the G.I. Joe branding and all the G.I. Joe stickers got taken out. So it's just Creo.
War toys.
War Jeep. It's Creo Warplane. It's not – and I think the reason behind that is because Lego does not do war. They don't do tanks. They don't do military jets. They really don't do guns except for, like, cowboy police officer stuff. And I think that's the niche that Creo now is trying to fit in. But it's at those dollar store, Dollar General locations.
Why would they remove a popular branding like G.I. Joe from something?
Because
popular
brand G.I. Joe? Joe?
Well,
G.I. Joe. You know what G.I. Joe is. Does a six-year-old know what G.I. Joe is?
Not anymore.
No, and I think it's a mistake to remove the G.I. Joe brand from it and just release it as Creo, but for whatever reason, that was deemed acceptable. So let's just wrap it up, the brick stuff, with Built to Rule real quick. Built to Rule came out during Armada Energon. Most of it came out during the Armada period, but the second wave of Energon figures only came out into the Cincinnati test market, which is Hasbro Kenner's usual test market.
I saw a couple of them in this area around here. I guess we're close enough.
You're close to Cincy.
Yeah, close enough, yeah. I do recall seeing some of those, but I remember whenever Built to Rule was first announced and everything, and we hadn't seen any of it yet. I'm like, you know, I liked Legos as a kid. You know, I kind of like where this is going, you know, bringing Legos into Transformers. And then the first one came out. We saw the pictures, and I'm like, you know, is that look of horror whenever you see it. You're like, that thing looks awful. But, you know,
off, yeah. Like Indiana Jones.
Yeah. But I remember whenever I first saw them, I'm like, it looks awful, but I'll give it a try. And I remember I got Smokescreen. I think it was like the first one released, Armada Smokescreen.
Right, which was the orange construction vehicle,
mm-hmm.
not the sports car.
I hated it. It was awful. It didn't lock together properly. No articulation. Didn't really look like a smokescreen at all. I mean, vaguely, it like had his colors and sort of had his head and everything. And they had a Minicon, and I'm like, that's about where the similarities end. You know, he was janky. Mine didn't particularly stay together very well. It was just a huge fail.
They didn't lock in.
Yeah.
And the biggest problem for me was the Optimus Prime with that trailer. That trailer would not lock in, which was very frustrating when you're trying to display it or take a picture of it for a book. Just incredibly frustrating, and it makes you want to not do it. All right. So there's a brief history of bricks. I'm going to throw.
Well, we forgot Broadside. G1 Broadside.
I'm going to throw something at you guys. This is a segment. Kiss players.
Oh.
But, so, Duran, you're an overweight, balding male.
With a goatee.
Why don't you explain to us what the significance of Kiss players in the Japanese culture represents?
Well, not being the as well versed on Japanese culture as some people are, in Japan, some things that we may consider taboo or a little bit inappropriate here in the Western market, in Japan, not so much. You know, matter of fact, it's if I'm not mistaken, I have been told on numerous occasions that there are vending machines in Japan where you can buy women's panties.
Used women's panties. I've never seen one of those over there, but I've heard the legends, that's never true.
So if it is true, and I've heard multiple people tell me about these that
maybe
have been
in,
to
like the Roppongi area, but yeah. Like,
but you know, you have a society that allows this, you know, and the Japanese culture can tend to, you know, once they get outside of their work environment, they like to let loose, and it's almost as if it's a no holds barred type environment in my opinion. So you know, little girls and being sexualized over there, it's not as frowned upon as it is here.
Right. Apparently. So there's a whole economy built up around figures of young-looking women in suggestive outfits and poses. Some of this has leaked over to pop culture. You know, Bushido-style figures of Ghostbusters or Freddy Krueger, or they're, you know, cute little sexy versions of Jason Voorhees. That stuff exists.
I imagine they would look a lot like Rob.
To judge that culture, we're just here to talk about the line. So Kiss players, 2005, 2006, a couple different style of figures released. You had G1 reissues, World's Smallest Transformers, and Alternators, all falling into the Kiss players line. The Alternators, you had the, as far as I can recall, it was the only way in Japan you can get Hot Rod. And he came with a fishing pole, which is really cool. But he also came with a little tiny figure of a girl that...
We see your underwear, Rob.
That came with a little girl, yeah.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
There she is. Your video?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you for showing us behind. Yeah. So, Convoy. I don't understand, you know, how Takara felt it was a good idea to jump into that market. Convoy, there are no pickup trucks in Japan. You know, there's no Dodge Rams over there. So to get a pickup truck made, it had to be Convoy. So to release it in Japan, I guess they not only want to go to the Transformers fans, but they also want to go to these collector fans. So Convoy came up with a little Marissa Fairborn figure.
And a surfboard.
surfboard, and the surfboard would turn into a sword, and the figures came with removable legs, so you can put them in a seated position or in a standing position. And seated, they, you know, they would go inside the vehicle, inside the alternator. So
Prime was saying, "Give me your legs instead of give me your face."
Right, but then there were comics that came with it, like a CD with a comic in it.
And CD is the operative word here.
Yeah. So so in the comics, it would be like, "Marissa Fairborn, you're getting a little too chubby. You should stop eating so much cherry ice cream." So that's something that's actually from the comics, right? So
uncomfortable.
It is uncomfortable to talk about. And back in the day, before I worked at Hasbro, I remember people asking Hasbro about KISS players, and it was uncomfortable for them to talk about, too. It's Japanese culture.
It's like, can we bring it here to the United States and have these scantily clad young children on the package and in the box? And yeah.
I mean, the biggest claim to fame with KISS players is by far the Megatron rape mouth. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go Google it. It's out there.
I think the biggest sin, toy-wise, was the world's smallest Transformers. It was Auto Trooper or Auto Scepter.
Auto Rooper.
Auto Rooper.
Auto Rooper, yeah. Yeah, he was an alternator. He was standard-size alternator. And then I think it was a remold of Jazz Meister. And then they made a smaller, world's smallest version of it. And that world's smallest version came with a little girl as well. But on the package, on the front of the package, she's sitting on her bum and she's pulling up her skirt. And the Transformer is going into, is looking into the void. And that's something that exists in the world of Transformers.
If you don't know what it sees, if you have not seen it, I'm sure it's on Google somewhere.
Yeah. And let's not forget to mention that the way the Transformers got their power was by getting kisses on the cheek from the young ladies. That's how they were able to power up.
Now, that's not to say that this line didn't have some success in the fact that there were some really good molds used. For example, that Hot Rod, the Mirage.
This toy is awesome.
It is awesome. And it's a really good color scheme. I remember I liked the Sound Blaster. Or I mean, I'm sorry, the blaster version of the Scion XB, the silver one.
The skids.
I actually owned that one. That's one of the only KISS plays I've ever owned, and I liked it. I really dug the toy itself, and I remember whenever I got it, it was the first and only KISS play figure I ever actually owned, and whenever I got it, it's like, I opened the package and I tried not to look at the little girl figurine. It's like, I didn't even take it from the package. Yeah, it's like, I felt so terrible having this package delivered to me. It's like,
I got this toy from my wife. I told her I wanted it for, like, I don't know if it was a Christmas or a birthday. I was like, order me that. And it comes in the box. And the box has, and I'm not going to run out to my garage to get it, but, you know, it has this girl here and she's doing, like, you know, a real high kick, you know, showing off like some of her panties or whatever. And my wife is like, what the fuck did you have me buy?
Yeah.
And I just was like, I was like, it's a cool toy. Trust me.
I had my mother-in-law come through my toy room one day and she looks over and she sees the little Auto Roper world's smallest box. And she's like, what is that? And I just had to explain to her, like, that's not something that I'm, you know, I collect Transformers and that's a Transformers item. That's not something. It's Japanese. You know, she's like barely literate. I fucking hate her.
And I'd like to point out, I just forgot, she has a, I don't know if it's focused, but she has a padlock around her neck as well, which is really, really odd.
Some bondage going on there.
Yeah. So, all right. So, again, it's not that the figures of any of these particular lines were bad. Some of them were bad. Yeah. Some of them were good.
Obviously, it didn't take off in Japan that long. The line just didn't take off. They only had three big releases, and then after that, they had some, you know, some smaller releases.
Well, E Hobby
PVC figure.
Didn't they do an E Hobby KISS play? The Glit.
The Rigi wasn't KISS players. I don't think. I think it was just Vinyltech.
Oh,
technically, or Vinyltech Asterix. I'm not sure which.
All right. So Robot Masters. Another, this was like a pre-Armada line. 2004, 2005, Robot Masters was a Japanese exclusive line. It started off by creating all new molds of significant characters from Transformers history. Beast Wars Megatron, Beast Wars Optimus Primal, G1 Convoy, Star Saber, Victory Leo. And then it, like most lines, what else do we have that can supplement this? Here comes the repaint parade. You had Machine Wars thrown in. You had G2 thrown in. And it lasted a year. It spanned 2 years, but it really lasted one whole year.
Of new molds, yeah.
Yeah, everything just kind of came out, and that was it. And you had a really, really cool Starscream figure that was the first Starscream figure that actually looked like the animation.
And it had everything all in one package, like the fists and the wings. They didn't detach. You could transform the whole toy into from jet to robot without having to detach anything. And it did it well, actually.
And we, well, I kept suggesting during my time at Hasbro, hey, we have these tools. Let's use them. Unfortunately, because of their size, they weren't quite basics. They weren't quite deluxe. So they never fit into the price point. And that was a reason we never got them out through the main line. And then I think BotCon at one point, we tried using the Starscream mold, but it had disappeared.
Wow.
So, there were some really cool toys. The Victory Leo and the Star Saber actually combined into Victory Saber. They were heavily inspired by the cartoon, as with the Beast Wars figures. But then you had here comes your Smokescreen and Dreadwing repaint from G2. Here comes your Machine Wars repaints. Here comes your Laser Cycles. And there were cool reprints of those figures.
But they didn't fall in the same line as the other previous releases.
Yeah.
Right. And then how do you, where do these fit on your shelf? Are these Universe toys? Are these Generations toys? Where exactly do they go?
Yeah, that line always confused me. The only ones I ever bought were the Star Saber and Victory Leo, which I don't have anymore. I eventually got rid of them. But I bought them just because it was a cheap way to get those characters compared to what the vintage cost, you know, until I was able to afford the vintage. Just, I don't know, the line always confused me. And as a Transformer collector, when you make a line that, you know, my type isn't even interested in that much, you know, I think that's probably not a good sign. You know, I don't know. It just, it never clicked with me.
I had them all, except for some of the exclusive repaints. I think the most exclusive repaint I had was the Burning Convoy, the translucent red Optimus Primal. And I actually owned that one later. But I had all the first releases, you know, Prime, Megatron, Starscream, Thundercracker, and Skywarp came in a two-pack. You know, there were some really good figures in that line. And I had the entire line at one time. They had a shelf onto their on all to their
they were their own thing.
Yeah, they were their own thing. But like Rick said, you know, they ultimately I got rid of them because, you know, whenever I wanted to pare down my collection, that's back whenever I had well over 2,000 figures. And, you know, I'm like, I want to get my collection down to where I can manage it. I'm tired of it, like, going into every room and there's Transformers in every room, you know, and you know, I was looking at things. Robot Masters were one of the first things to go. There were some cool toys there. It's just that they just didn't fit anywhere. Anywhere. And the fact that they didn't... Now, maybe if they had continued, like Rick said, you know, after you know, the second year, if they continued with new molds and kept going with robot lines, they could have been their whole second, you know, subline, you know, like Generations. It would have made sense to hold on to them. But, you know, once, and that's another thing that's really frustrating with a lot of these lines that we're talking about is that, you know, and as we mentioned, some of them actually have some good toys, in them, and you get interested in them, get invested, and then they just end. And once they end, you're like, okay, I wasted my time and money on these. And a lot of people just unload them, and they just wind up floating out there in nothingness. See, I mean, of course, you have your collectors that love certain sublines, and, you know, despite the fact that they were very short-lived, they hold on to them. Or just to be completionists, they hold on to things. But me, I'm one of those that, like, you know, don't tease me and then yank the rug out from underneath of me. I don't like that as a collector. You know,
maybe Rick knows, you know, when they start off a line like this with a lot of new molds and then they get into Repaint Town, are they doing that because the line at that point has basically already failed? You know, if they're doing that, you know, because I'm saying, well, if they kept making new molds, maybe, it, you know, it would have kept going longer. Well, if that's the
case, then Combiner Wars would have ended because they got into repaints really quick.
That's a good point.
I think it's a combination of let's introduce a new line and we only have so much tooling dollars. What can we use to supplement that line?
So it's kind of a decision made early on that it's going to be this much new tooling, this much repaints.
Right.
And then after the dust settles, say, hey, is this worth another wave or another year of this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, Combiner Wars had like, what, 4.5 molds, I think? And then everything else was repaints. Pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure there's only two Combiner Wars molds.
Only two?
Tricking us. Okay. Yeah, they're just kind of tricking us into all of them.
But I love every freaking one of them. except for that damn Prime mold. That was, yeah. I wish we had gotten a better Motormaster. Looking back on Combiner Wars, I wished we had gotten a better Motormaster. That's my biggest wish.
Anyway, I didn't get into Combiner Wars much.
All right, let me throw another one at you. Alternity.
Alternity is what Takara wanted from Vinyltech to begin with, and they finally got it out there.
And nobody wanted it.
So Alternity is 2009. Alternators had come and gone at that point. And Alternity was a smaller version, so it didn't fit with your alternator figures. It was still a licensed car, Nissan's, for the most part. I think Fiat made it in there too with Bumblebee.
Well, who's the Starscream toys? Because it was the Starscream.
Jaguar, maybe? Or maybe that's Megatron?
I mean, I have them right over there. A few of them. But yeah, and then I got the Bumblebee, which was really not a good mold.
The Starscream was a decent toy.
That thing is beautiful in car mold. The robot modes are, eh. You know, they tried to make it work.
Yeah.
To me, I think Alternity really went missed a lot just because it felt very piecemeal. Like, here's a figure. Here's a figure. You know, some time passes. And then, you know, there was no Hasbro counterpart. There was no stateside counterpart to it at all.
There wasn't a whole lot of media backing to it either. It's like once in a while you'd see, here's a new Alternity figure. And it would come and go without much fanfare. Honestly.
And they repainted a lot. I mean, they really stretched their molds out. For, you know, again, a line that has three molds, they really stretched them out.
No, I think it was more than three. I think
or four.
There's four or five, Prime, right?
Prime, Megatron, Bumblebee, and Starscream.
But there's also Star Saber and Diatlas.
Okay. And
I think those were towards the end of the line. I think those were other cars. Maybe I missed some. Yeah, I know the last couple of Alternity figures, the Diatlas, the Star Saber, those are tough to get. Not a whole lot of people have them because not a whole lot of people bought them when they first came out. So they are tough to find on the secondary market. They exist and they're out there.
Diatlas is a repaint of the Prime.
Okay.
Yeah.
So more
redecor. Yeah.
So... everybody here wears shoes, right? I mean,
yes.
Yeah. So
not currently, but yes.
Transformers Nikes. And I think this falls under the PlayStation 2, type of thing. There the Genesis. You're right. The Sega Genesis. There are, yeah, the hats, the ice cream bar.
Ice cream bar. That's a new one.
Yeah, it wasn't actually. It was part of
Transformers,
but it wasn't a Transformer character. It was the company's character that transformed. But
well,
it
that's
was
awesome. I got to get that.
They're almost a dime a dozen.
Yeah, and I think there's a variant on that one too. Kind of like the Disney Transformers. The Mickey Mouse and the Donald Duck, and then there was the Combiner.
And the Bumblebee. Oh, wait, right. The Bumblebee was Donald Duck. They also did Buzz, just a Buzz that transformed into a spaceship.
Yes. Here, I'm going to throw something at you. I want to see if you guys know it. Don't all speak at once. Transformers Go. Mm-hmm. Duran.
I wanted to get behind that line. I really, really wanted to get behind it because being a Brave fan, some of the designs screamed Brave influence. Especially the blue one, I can't remember its name, the combined mode, kind of resembled what was to come after Gal Gigar. It looked like Great Bongon. And it hearkened to his look very much so. But the execution of the toys, it's like, I remember they came out. I didn't pre-order them because at the time, if you've been watching the show or know me at all, you know that I had a serious tractor-trailer accident several years ago. That was around the time that these things came out. So I didn't have them pre-ordered, so I missed out on their initial launch. And boy, in retrospect, am I glad that I did, because had I got these things, I had a chance to mess with one, several months later, and I'm like, this thing is a piece of shit. I hated it. I'm like, there's like the posability was like very limited, the construction felt very cheap. And I really questioned where in the hell they were trying to go with this line. And fortunately, it ended very, very quickly. I think, wasn't it essentially intended to be a reason to bring over Beast Hunters?
No. So what Transformers Go was, there were four figures. I think they all combined. You had the red one, the blue one, and the other one. The fire truck, the jet, and I think another one was the wolf. And the three of them combined into a larger robot. And then there was Convoy, who was a train, which is the only one I opened. I had them all. I have them all, but I only opened Convoy. And I think he also combined with them. And
I thought
there was a whole line. They brought over Beast Hunters. Under the Transformers Go banner, but original molds, there was only four.
Okay, so what Transformers Go was, after the second season of Transformers Prime, much like Beast Wars 2 and Beast Wars Neo, this was a sequel to Transformers Prime in Japan that only was out in Japan. There was some animation. I think it only came with the DVDs or the VCDs that came with the figures. I think there was maybe one or two episodes produced that I can recall. If you're a Transformers Go expert out there, please send me a message. Not that I read it, but
I bought the combiner sets, or the two combiner sets, because there was the Autobot combiner set and the Decepticon combiner set. Mm-hmm. And those are the two sets I bought from Orson at Captured Prey. Just because I was really iffy on those. I was like, man, I don't know. But I was like, oh, it's combiners, and I don't have it, so I have to buy it, right? I was in that mentality. And yeah, I was pretty underwhelmed with them. Some of the alt modes were pretty neat, like the one's a shark and the one's a lion. Like, it's kind of neat, but ultimately they were pretty big letdown.
Yeah, for the first couple of figures being all new tooling, all new molds, and having – they're very sizable. It's odd that there wasn't enough, in my opinion – fan buildup to getting these new tools. Like, there wasn't a whole lot of people who was like, I gotta have it. right?
It's like they announced it, and we just sat back and waited, and it's like everybody was lukewarm on it even before it was released.
Yeah.
And now all the original molds are like on clearance. Like you can get them for under $25 at online retailers.
Yeah. And even at that, I'd be hesitant.
I think the reason why is actually could be why you said earlier, Orson, the reason you were excited for it is because it kind of felt, it reminded you of Brave and kind of Galgagar. And I think that aesthetic to the larger Transformer populace that's why we all were kind of like, this is in the Transformer line, but the aesthetics don't really match what we're currently getting from Transformers or the Prime line, which, you know, as being a subline of Prime. And I think that's why everybody held off. And then when they came in, it's like, okay, these are actually, they didn't fit in. They were made to go with Prime, but they obviously did not fit in with Prime. Everybody just said, okay, yeah, you know, clearance time, or I'm just going to continue not buying it. And
all right, let me throw another one at you. Now, this is one, this is an iffy one. All right. Because there was a lot of products released, but
is it a short time again?
This was 2014, 2015. So over the course of like a year and a half, Q Transformers, QT.
Actually, these were kind of neat.
These were super deformed, tiny Transformers. You had Lockdown, Bumblebee, Optimus, you know, your usual suspects, mm-hmm. right? But they're super deformed, but they're actually transforming, and they all had a similar transformation gimmick. But try and find someone over here stateside that has them all. Or, you know, has more than two.
I have Skywarp.
You got Skywarp. I think I only have one, right? And I'm Mr. Everything. Like, I just keep waiting and waiting for those to get cheaper and cheaper before I go after them.
I feel like
they're neat, so, but they just don't have a niche.
Well, they're all you kind of say yourself, they all transform the same.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got one, then you have them all. I feel like as far as the interaction, play with it, and do you... I don't know how you guys are, especially, you know, we talk about collecting everything. I still have a big collection. I've started paring down the past couple of years, but
a shelf of the same giant room
over and over. I got a pretty big room down here. Just at some point, it's like these are little things. They're fun. They're cute, but they're desk toys. There's not a lot to them. It's something you fiddle with at your desk, and that's great. You know, I love having product like that, but I don't need, you know, a full shelf full of them. So,
right. It's not a definitive representation of that character. Oh.
That's a good point, yeah.
I remember at BotCon 2016, there was a dealer over near the entranceway that actually had a table full of the QT Transformers. And my girlfriend, loving the cutesy type stuff, you know, I think that's kind of what the name kind of plays on, QT. She's like, oh, well, what are these? You know, and I'm like, and I explained to her what they were. They're super deformed, and she didn't know what that meant. And I said, well, basically, just imagine tiny body, big head, you know, cutesy type character. And she found Jazz, which, you know, her daughter's name is Jasmine, so she gets everything Jazz. So she got Jazz, and I picked out Skywarp because I like Skywarp, and it was
a weird wolf.
No, there wasn't a werewolf. So, and Skywarp was the only one that they had that really appealed to me. So I got Skywarp. He's cool. I like him. And like you said, he's very much a desk bot. I had him on, you know, whenever I lived in my apartment before I moved here, I had him right here on my computer desk. And during TFYLP episodes, I'd sit there and fiddle with him. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, having a whole line of them, I didn't need a whole line of them. No.
Exactly. So I think we've reached just about all we can talk in regards to
there's a lot less than
stellar toy lines.
There's a lot of lines out there, a lot of sublines out there in the Transformers brand. We could literally talk for hours, I'm sure, on this.
Real quick, give me another one, Duran.
Look right there.
Wow. Titaniums.
Titanium. See, Titaniums is one where they made a lot of figures. And, I guess you could say Titaniums tapered off in the end, but all lines taper off in the end.
Titanium's yeah. was
but then it hasn't come back. To me, that's what
it hasn't what come it, back, and it didn't have staying power. The thing,
but well, the Rodimus came out again in that Galvatron Rodimus 2-pack.
Oh.
It was the Transformers Platinum Edition. It was Titanium Rodimus versus Deluxe Generations Galvatron, which didn't make any sense.
No. That's out there.
Let's just pull two molds out of our ass and put them in a package.
Yeah, it's just yeah. We have these characters. Let's just, you know, screw it. Let's just put them together. But you know,
I love Titanium for what it did. It got us a representation of characters that we weren't going to see any other way at the time. I think nowadays Generations and, you know.
At the time, that was probably the best damn yeah. Scourge we had ever got.
That Scourge is awesome.
Yeah. And for War Within, pre-Cybertron, exactly. That was really, you know, we had that pre-Cybertron Optimus and Grimlock. We got Prowl. We got Megatron.
We got an Ultra Magnus that transformed in one, which had never been done before, yeah. I don't think, really. Yeah. At least not G1.
So, yeah, we got a lot of inspired Magnus.
That first wave sucked. The first wave was floppy as hell. There's no getting around it, and I think that really hurt it from the get-go.
Well,
after that, I think the line really came into its own, except for like Soundwave.
The thing that Diaper Soundwave. The thing that a lot of people had against Titanium series, not only was it floppy, a lot of the releases floppy, but then you had some figures that, you know, were great otherwise, but then they had elements about them that was terrible, like the Soundwave. The Soundwave was generally good, except for his waist just looked like he was wearing a diaper. But the biggest complaint that that I always read online, you know, and at the time that these came out, I was heavily active on TFW, and everybody was always bitching about, you know, diecast and plastic is not a good combination. To me, it is a good combination if used and done correctly. But there is a point whenever you have too much diecast, and I think Titanium went there.
Especially in the arms.
Yeah, it's like Titanium's like, you like diecast? Well, here's your fucking diecast.
that's the name of the line.
Yeah, and
here's your fucking diecast.
Yeah,
the line. Shut up. Here's your War Within.
Yeah, it's almost like that's what they went with.
Oh, and let's not forget, we also got War Within Jetfire, which was a sloppy mess.
Yes,
that one holds together. Mine is good,
but it was loosey goosey from the start.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say that one's a failure as much as it tapered out towards the end.
It had a lot of promise and a lot of...
And it hasn't come back. There's been no more diecast in Hasbro mainline Transformers aside since then, I don't think. Because that was also after... Alternators didn't have any anyways. That was Binaltech. So
with Titaniums, I don't remember if there were any 3-inch figures that ever came out. I think there was a couple of repaints that never came out, like the yellow repaint of Alternator Sideswipe and 3-inch never came out. But with the 6-inch Titaniums, which were more popular, we never got the Sound Blaster that came with the Ravage. Yep. Never got Primal Prime, which was a repaint of Optimal Optimus.
Yep.
And we never got – there were 4 new molds. They never got tooled up.
These are the ones we saw at BotCon in Rhode Island?
Yeah, it was Shockwave.
Bumblebee.
War for Cybertron, Bumblebee with a Cliff Jumper head, Cosmos, and RC.
Yep. And I remember at the time especially pining for that RC so hard just because we'd never gotten a G1 RC. And obviously we finally have now, and she's been repainted a billion times, which is great. And, you know, with Power of the Primes coming out, we're about to get a bunch of the Fembots from that old G1 episode. You know, some representation of those characters, which is it's better than nothing. But, you know, I was glad to finally get a mainline G1 RC. It took a long time, though.
And not to go off on a tangent, this is a here's an idea for a show one day, Duran. Let's get a bunch of girls on and talk about female Transformers. And I think collectively we have to find a better name than Fembots and Femputer.
That might be a good instance to bring back two original TFYLP members, Natsume and Mirai Baby.
Let's get the ladies back on here, and we'll make it a girlfriends episode again.
Yes,
because that was a popular show.
But the thing wasn't you know, and kind of tying in with our next episode, Trans Tech, wasn't that War Within Prime slightly taken from Design Q from Trans Tech Optimus Primal or Optimus Prime?
No, that was all Don Figueroa inspired Dreamwave art. They were all pretty much straight out of the comic books.
Except for that Megatron.
Well, the Trans Tech Optimus Prime, the vehicle mode, looked a whole lot like that, though.
It did, but the Trans Tech vehicle had the gorilla face on it.
Yeah,
it was a truck.
I'm not saying it was a straight up copy of it, but I mean,
No. I'm telling you, they were based off the Dreamwave comics.
Except for that Megatron, I still don't know where that thing came from.
Well, the first tank Megatron. Interesting side note. That was the first official G.I. Joe Transformers crossover in product form. Because in the bio, it actually said he was rebuilt by Cobra, and it actually mentioned Cobra Commander and Cobra. And I don't remember the bio off the top of my head, but that was, I remember thinking, oh, that's the first official crossover.
I had heard that it was based off something from G.I. Joe, but I had the Transformers versus G.I. Joe comics, and I was like, I don't see this guy in there. It's possible I missed it, but okay.
Well, you know... Like I said earlier, we could go on for hours and hours about, you know, lines that had potential and missed the mark or just flat out sucked. And we've mentioned some really good ones here, and I think we've talked about some really good things on that subject. We'd love to hear from you, the listeners and the viewers. What lines kind of did the same for you? You know, that you had a lot of hope for, that you were ultimately disappointed with or just lost interest in, or had no interest in at all, let us know. You can post it in our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/TFYLP, the same place where we show robot porn. And then also tweet us at TFYLP on Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. And as always, right down there in the comments below this video, if you're watching us, we'd love to hear from you there. What was that, Rick?
No, never mind. Oh. I was going to make an obscene joke, but no, it's okay.
Not on TFYLP, no.
it's pronounced Tiflip for the last fucking time.
No.
It's pronounced Tiflip.
I made this damn show. I say it's not.
Robert, thank you for joining us today. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. This was absolutely fun. I love talking
absolutely
about this.
Hope you can keep joining us. Absolutely. You know, Christian and you, I think you're both great additions to this podcast.
Gotta get that ginger quota up.
Yeah. Especially with you guys have a lot of good knowledge and obviously a lot of passion for this franchise and this toy line. It's just it's great to have guys like you on. And if you, the viewer or the listener, have passion for us on this podcast, you can always help us. Yeah, in other ways, not those ways, not the ways that you're thinking, but you can help us continue. You know, helping us with our server fees and upgrades and all that stuff. That can be done through our Patreon at patreon.com/TFYLP. Everybody that helps us, we thank you from the bottom of our heart. I'm continuing to get stuff in. I'm trying to build up some swag. You know, if you're like, I think the $25 level and everything, you get stuff like this cool mouse pad here. You know, I'll throw those in there. I got some window cling stickers now. I'm working on perfecting those. Right now they're a big square. I want to get them pre-cut.
For $500, I will send you a hard drive. And you may be surprised at what's on it.
Yes. There's a lot of Kiss Player related stuff on there.
But the deal is you are not allowed to show anyone what's on the hard drive. You talk about it, but you can't show them what's on the hard drive.
Absolutely.
That's a hard drive from back in the day.
Yes. And also, if there is our highest tier on there, if you go with our highest tier on there, one of the great things that you will get if you do that is an autographed copy of
a book.
A book by Rick Alvarez, The Unofficial Guide to Vintage Transformers by some schmuck named J.E. Alvarez.
With photography by Durinland.
Yeah, some
Durinland.
Durinland?
Some Durinland. Schmuck named Durinland, yeah.
What's Durinland. A book? Is that like grandpa internet?
This one has lots of pictures,
it's,
so
it's
there's
analog
not
analog internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Analog internet. And with that, I think we will bid you adieu and join us next week on TFYLP. Thank you all for everyone for joining us this week. And thank you, Rob. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Gracias, gracias. Arigato. How's other ways to say it? I don't know.
Arigato is goodbye. You would say domo.
Oh, domo. Okay, okay. Okay. I don't speak Japanese, so don't hate on me.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.